apologize to Mary for giving you the wrong cues. First of all, before breakfast, somebody's shoes were taken from the shoe rack, which has happened before in the past. Often you just go to the flea market and see where they are. But I want to not just suggest, but command you to wear your old shoes, because there's no way we can monitor the shoes out there. So just wear some old pair of shoes, wear some old Zoris or something, so that missing is not a big deal. Wear the shoes that you were planning to give away. So this morning, everybody knows what a ghost is. A ghost. G-H-O-S-T. Our Zen practice, a ghost is, according to our Zen understanding, Buddhist understanding, a ghost is a disembodied spirit. And so a disembodied spirit is like someone who doesn't have the reference point so that they can land somewhere. So they're always wandering around, disembodied. They can't find their true body. So you may feel like that sometimes. So finding the right reference point is really important. And we're always looking for reference points. You know, every moment of our life, actually, we're involved in looking for the reference points. When we walk down the street, we look for the reference points. Otherwise, we just kind of wander around. So to keep from wandering, we look for reference points. If we can't find the right reference points, we have to choose something, because to keep us from wandering. So we choose various things. Of course, these are not true reference points. They're expedient reference points. But we form habits over these reference points that are not true reference points, like drinking and gambling and smoking. I remember when I was a smoker 30 years ago, something like that. Every time you smoke a cigarette, that's a reference point. And you think that it's just something, a habit that you have, but you always keep coming back to that as the reference point, and it becomes a really important part of your life. So important that you cannot give it up. So I think we need to examine the reference points that we're always using, whether these are true reference points that bring release, or reference points that bring confinement. And so many of our reference points are reference points within the drama of our life. You know, we're born into this world, so to speak. I won't say that as a fact, but we have that concept. We're born into this world, and then we little by little find our reference points, and we begin to build a scenario on this stage of whatever furniture is around us. So by furniture, you know, everything around us is the furniture for our drama. And we use this furniture. We build our life around it. Our house, our parents, our friends, our work, and our interests, and so forth. So we build our life on this, and we create a drama, and responding to other dramas, others' drama, we co-create drama, and we call it my life. So how do we find the true reference point that is the most satisfying reference point that makes all the other reference points work? Shakyamuni said, our life is somewhat unsatisfactory when we don't find the true reference point for our life. No matter what we do, there's something unsatisfactory about us. No matter how wealthy we are, no matter how much material goods we have, no matter how successful our business is, and our children, and all this and that, there's still something that isn't completely satisfactory. I think about the dharmas that are in our mind, like greed, ill will, delusion as categories, and all of the subcategories that are part of those categories that revolve around in our minds all the time. They take up space. Someone described it as an airplane. Like if I'm holding some kind of anger about somebody as a reference point, then that anger is looping around in my mind. Even though I'm really thinking about other things, it's still looping around in my mind like an airplane that can't land. So it's taking up space and renting space. Renting space in our minds. So our mind is captivated by this emotion or this feeling or this thought. So we become prisoners of our own thoughts. And this is a ghost, because until it can land, it's disembodied and actually leading us around. It has us. So, how do we find our the right basis as a reference point for our life that is the most meaningful? So this is my preamble. My ambling. Preamble. That's an interesting word. Little walk. To Suzuki Roshi's talk. He talks about, talking about something. He's talking about setting your alarm clock. So that you have a reference point. Your reference point for practice is setting your alarm clock in the morning. If you practice in the morning. This is the ideal reference point. The ideal reference point, setting your alarm clock in the morning. And then that's the beginning of the true reference point, because what you're going to do is sit zazen. And zazen is the true reference point, because zazen is not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It's zero. the reference point is zero, the true reference point. But unless we have zero as a reference point, we're simply banging back and forth with all the numbers, between all the numbers, between the reference points of existence. So he says, our everyday life is like a movie played on a wide screen. Most people are interested in the picture on the screen without realizing that there is a screen. So the screen is just empty, white screen with nothing on it, a blank screen with nothing on it. And the movie is played on the screen. When the movie stops, you don't see anything anymore, and you think, oh, I must come again tomorrow evening. I'll come back and see another movie. So, you know, when we see the blank screen, it's like, well, nothing's there. And our life is held together by these events. You know, if we have a space in our life between events when nothing's happening, some people feel that's really, that's wonderful, but other people get very frightened, because unless we fill that space with activity, the continuity of our life stops. So we have to keep going and going and going in order to keep the continuity of our life moving. Otherwise, we fall into a hole. But this hole is the fundamental thing. And unless we understand or base our life on this hole, H-O-L-E, W-H-O-L-E, we're kind of ghost-like. So, when you are just interested in the movie on the screen and it ends, then you expect another show tomorrow. Or maybe you're discouraged because there's nothing good on right now. You don't realize that the screen is always there. So, when you are practicing, you realize that your mind is like a screen. In other words, when you're sitting zazen, hopefully you realize that your mind is like a screen. And the scenery of your life is going by. Like riding in a train, the thoughts, you realize how your mind is continually screening thoughts to keep it interested. So, when you practice and you realize that your mind is like a screen, if the screen is colorful enough to attract people, then it will not serve its purpose. So the screen has to be totally black. It can't have any thing of its own. There's nothing behind it. I wrote down here once, I don't know why I'm sitting zazen when I could be doing something interesting. Zazen is hindering my life. People talk about that. Especially in the middle of the scene. So people are not so interested in the curtain. Where actually, you know, unless you realize the screen is there, it's like living in a dream. This is called the dream world, actually. Because this is when we think about something and then we act it out. And we make a plan and then we act out the plan. So, we have a dream about something, we call it a thought, but it's a dream. And we're always dreaming about what we're going to do next and what we would like to do and what we should do and what other people are doing that we like and don't like. And, you know, this is our dream world, and we can change it anywhere we want, you know, unless we get stuck somewhere. So it's very arbitrary. I used to, when my son was like one and two, I wondered how he made decisions. I was like, how does he make decisions? You know, like, and I watched him closely to see how he made the decision, and it just seemed somewhat arbitrary. And so he made this, what I felt was an arbitrary decision, but then his surroundings supported his arbitrary decision. And then everything worked together with that decision. If he had made another decision, his surroundings would have worked together with that other decision, and then he would have gone a different way. So it all seemed arbitrary to me, but everything seemed to work because he made a decision to do something. Doesn't matter what, good decision or bad, right or wrong, it was a decision. And so making the decision created the reference points, and then he worked within those reference points to do something. So our reference point is zero for Zen students. You're always referring to zero. Always coming back to zero. So I think it's good. It's good to be excited by seeing a movie. It's giving us that. To some extent, you can enjoy the movie because you know that it's a movie. Even though you have no idea of the screen, still, your interest is based on an understanding that this is a movie with a screen and there is a projector or something artificial. So you can enjoy it. That's how we enjoy our life. If you have no idea of the screen on the projector, perhaps you cannot see it as a movie. So he's saying, just if you are, have zero as a reference, then you can see the movie as a movie. We get caught in buying into the movie too much. So our desires are aroused by stimulus, and then we become carried off and take things too seriously. And of course, you know, it's easy to say that, but and then when we look at our life, we see, my God, you know, I built my life on this edifice that I've concocted. And I have to see it through, which is true. You have to see through. Unless you, some people just want to go away from it. It's very interesting. In hard times, in good times, people build their edifice. In hard times, they lose it. We lose it. But you see people walking away, you know, from their edifice that they built and realizing, this is just an edifice I was building. This is just a castle in the sky. But, you know, that will destroy the society if everybody does that, which may or may not be good. Everything has two sides. So, so he says, Zazen practice is necessary to know the kind of screen you have and to enjoy your life as you enjoy movies in the theater. So, yes, you can enjoy your life if you have some distance. By distance, it means you know that the drama is not everything. You have to be sincere in what you're doing, but the drama is not everything. There's another side. You can actually enjoy your life. You do not have any particular feeling for the screen, which is just a blank white screen. So you're not afraid of your life at all. You enjoy something and you are afraid. You enjoy something that you are afraid of, like a horror movie. People like to see these horror movies when you turn on the television to most ordinary stations, it's all horror movies. And then people enjoy that more than anything. So you enjoy something that makes you angry, it makes you cry, and you enjoy the crying and the anger too. If you have no idea of the screen, then you will even feel afraid of enlightenment. What is that?
But you would think that if you have no idea.
Yeah, if you, right. If you have no idea of the screen, the blank screen, then you will even be afraid of enlightenment. I remember the famous phrase that Suzuki Roshi coined. He says, you should be careful about wanting enlightenment, because if you get it, you may not like it. Oh my, if someone attains enlightenment, you may ask him about the experience that he had. And when you hear about the experience, you may say, oh no, that's not for me. But it's just a movie, you know, something for you to enjoy. And if you want to enjoy the movie, you should know that it is the combination of film, light, and screen, and that the most important thing is the plain white screen, because everything has the background of the screen. If we understand the background, it makes our life much lighter. When we can enjoy our life much more, because we're not afraid of losing anything. If you attain enlightenment, you realize that there's nothing to lose. You're not afraid of losing anything, because everything is just flashing momentarily into existence as a form. Like the bird. He's enjoying his life. He doesn't have to worry too much about the worm. I was thinking of Michael Jackson, who I didn't pay much attention to. But I have a feeling for Michael Jackson. And this exuberance for life. And whose reference points were mixed. And he was always changing, finding new hats and new clothes and new face and new everything, and so he could identify himself. And his reference points were always shifting, which was part of the drama. Real dramatic life. But he couldn't find the ground, the true ground, which is kind of tragic. You look at his life as kind of incredible and at the same time tragic. So being, not having a usual childhood, and being given permission to do what, you know, to completely express himself, which he did with verve. When you come down from that, unless you have a strong safety net or parameter for your behavior, you don't know what to do. So the white screen is not something that you can actually attain. It is something you always have. So So it's your fundamental nature, which is not some, you can't attain this. You can't, there's nothing to attain, you know. It's like Master Nansen and Joshu. Joshu says, what is the way? Nansen says, it's ordinary mind is the way. Ordinary mind is just a white screen. Can I go after it? And nonsense is, if you go after it, you stumble past. And if you don't go after it, you can't realize it. So that's our goal. The reason you don't feel you have it is because your mind is too busy. Once in a while, you should stop all your activities and make your screen blank. Like open sky. That is Zazen. That is the foundation of our everyday life and our meditation practice. Without this kind of foundation, your practice will not work. All the instructions you receive are about how to have a clean, clear screen, even though it is never pure white because of various attachments and previous stains. So, even though you may have realization and act in accordance with that realization, still you have your old karma. You know, it says that even Shakyamuni had his karma from the past. So everyone has their karma. And it doesn't mean that your karma is suddenly all eradicated, but there are aspects of karma that are still having to be worked out in your life. And staining is an interesting term because you talk about precepts, breaking precepts, or transgressing precepts. Actually, if you are mindful of precepts and you transgress the precepts, it's called staining rather than ignoring the precepts. So our life has these, is not perfect. And we still have our residual karma that is always being worked out, but at some point, if we're not feeding it, it withers. So this is another aspect. How do we deal with, you know, the stuff that's going on in our mind that is unhelpful dharmas like greed, anger, and delusion. But although they're there, by not feeding them, they wither up. They can't last. But our tendency is to keep feeding them. The way to stop feeding them is through repentance, and through letting people know that we're sorry for what we did, so that we can relieve ourselves and stop feeding forgiveness. Forgiveness is for ourselves, because it helps us to let go of the resentments in our mind and have a clear mind. So practice means always clearing your mind. If we realize that the main thing about practice is always clearing our mind all the time, then we have a point of reference. And so, if you're a practitioner, you'd rather clear your mind than to hold on to something. our human nature wants to hold on to something. Anger, resentment, this and that. But if our intention is to have a clear mind, a free mind, then that's more important than holding on. We just have to know what our priorities are. So, when we just practice Zazen with no idea of anything, we're quite at ease. He says relax, but I don't like to use the word relax, because then we think, well, but at ease. We're at ease. Because it is difficult to have complete ease in our usual posture, we take the posture of Zazen. To do this, we follow the instructions that have been accumulated from the experience of many people in the past. They discovered that the posture of Zazen is much better than other postures, better than standing up or lying down. For practice. If you practice Zazen following the instructions, it will work. But if you do not trust your own pure white screen, your practice will not work. So, we have to, as Dogen says, as any teacher said, we have to have faith in our own true nature, which is the white screen, which is Buddha nature, which is big mind, which is whatever we call it. So, do you have any questions? Yes, Charles?
So, I used to go to the movies a lot more than I do now, but I guess when I was a freshman in college, a friend of mine was a projectionist, and I had the opportunity to walk backstage at a movie house. And I was amazed to find out that the screen was composed of a bunch of dots, really. Yes. And so there are really two sides to a movie screen. And I guess the reason they have all those perforations is to keep it steady when a breeze comes up, keep it in focus so it doesn't flap of the breeze, but you can see the movie projected on both sides.
You see the other side has the structure more.
Right.
Yes, when you expand something like to that, you see how it's all composed of dots. Little dots all working together. And there's really no center to anything, no real center. They're just a referential center.
Yeah. You say that this reference point or zero is being suggested as the blank screen, and you said your son seemed to use his decisions as his reference points. The decision. It's not a blank screen, it's something concrete. It's something that I think mostly what I reflexively search for in my search for reference points, often self-concepts. And that's what I'm always grasping for every moment. That the blank screen is an interesting idea to try to play with as a reference point, but it's like nothingness.
Right.
And to have, it's very difficult, it seems to me, to have an absence be a reference point. I've always thought that that's what we were sort of supposed to do, like give rise to the mind that dwells nowhere.
Mm-hmm. Right? It stands on nothing. Yeah. It's not supported.
Like not a reference point.
Well,
it's like a ghost, which is just like a ghost.
Well, that's our concept of a ghost. Is you know, the white sheet. Right?
Well, a ghost has no reference point.
Yeah, that's why it's a ghost.
So, So there's nothing that was being suggested is that this absence is a reference point, which is actually the work.
But this white sheet also includes the movie.
The white sheet of the ghost.
Yeah, you know, form is emptiness. This is all about the Heart Sutra. Form is emptiness. Emptiness is form.
Right.
So this is the side of form is emptiness.
The reference point of emptiness.
Form is emptiness is that the movie is projected on the screen. Emptiness is form is that because of the screen you can see the movie. So it's really not two things, it's just divided into two in order to talk about it. To give us some, because of the way our mind works.
I don't know if the part of my mind that seeks reference will be satisfied by an answer.
That's okay.
Actually, it becomes a concept. You know, the emptiness becomes a concept, and I can have this, I'm a Zen guy, and that means I'm emptiness, and I'm comfortable with emptiness, and that's my reference.
That's what we're talking about.
Tomorrow you've got a whole new concept.
That's what we're talking about, the screen instead of emptiness.
It's the positive aspect of emptiness.
It's a way, it's not talking about something that you can confuse with something else.
So I was also interested in the same metaphor of your son's decision making and it being the universe supporting the decision in any case, regardless if it was this or that.
Right.
And so so my mind went in two different directions. I want to see if I can want to check my work here. One is kind of Geary saying you have to say something, that is the expression of it is the thing that causes the universe to dance around it. So that was one. The other direction I went with is if it could have been this decision or that decision, then is that the same as Dogen's one continuous mistake?
I think what Dogen is talking about, he says one continuous mistake means everything's perfect. People misconstrue that. If he was saying one continuous mistake means a mistake, then what is that?
But if any decision will be supported by the matter of expression,
that's right. Yes.
Then the evaluation of mistake becomes irrelevant.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Where was evaluating? Yes.
How about this? Emptiness is not nothing.
Good.
Emptiness is not.
Emptiness is not nothing. But if you hang to that, that's also something. Judy.
With regard to Paul's observations and questions, I was thinking about what you read maybe a week ago from. I guess it was from Suzuki about the brown rice.
Yes.
And I don't know if you were here when he did that, but he read this thing about brown rice being emptiness and chewing the brown rice. And as I understood it, believe me, I don't pretend that this is, doctrine or anything, but not there is such a thing. But my understanding or my interest in it was that the brown rice is complicated. It's more rich than white rice, and you chew it, and it becomes more things. But it has no fixed character. It keeps changing, and then after you swallow it, it continues to change. And in that sense, it's empty. But the emptiness isn't blank. You see what I mean? Emptiness isn't zero. It's zero in the sense that it's no fixed character. But it doesn't mean, it's not
so much
fixed.
A reference point.
What?
Nothing fixed.
That's right. That's the reference point.
Yes.
Because if it was fixed, then you couldn't see the movie. There would be nothing for the movie to be projected on. Then you'd have confusion between two fixed things.
Well, along the same lines, for me it's helpful to think of reference points as intersections. I mean, that's what points are in geometry, and where lines intersect, they're dimensionless. Mathematically, a point has zero dimensions. The blank screen is actually one form meeting another, the rays of light from the projector, and because form meets form, the movie appears. It's like when you sit zazen, or any time, if you go to your center of gravity, which is a one reference point, that's the intersection of many different forces that are happening within body, mind, gravity. It doesn't mean it doesn't change, and it doesn't mean it's nothing. It's where things come together to move.
Well, yeah, it's a still point.
Yeah.
So I was looking for this a screen.
You can't find it.
Oh, but still, I'm going to try.
I know.
I felt that there's no screen. I was listening to the birds, whatever, and I just felt there's really no screen.
Mm-hmm.
What Bob just said was nice because he said form meets form.
Mm-hmm.
Then you don't really think there's a screen here and something
projected.
No, projected.
You don't.
Okay, good. I want to just switch to another question. That will be brief if you let me.
Well, the question may be brief, but I don't know about the rest of it. Go ahead.
All of this is images about projecting, or it's a movie, or it's a drama, and if we just so take it more lightly, you know, we could be at ease, and it's not really anything, and it's perfect, and so on.
Well, you know, you can superficialize all that.
That works for me when I'm thinking about my problems, which are like, I don't go to zazen, I look at the computer screen too much, etc. But then when I have an image of some catastrophe, and you know I could mention several, it doesn't seem adequate to speak that way about it.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, but we're talking about two different things. One is tragedy, and one is how you view reality.
How you
view reality. How you understand what we call reality. So even though people, you know, every single one of those people, you know, this is very interesting. I told you it was going to be it may be a short question, but I think, you know, every day about all these people who are, whose points of reference are totally destroyed. A whole culture whose points of reference are totally destroyed. And they're running around like boom, 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 you know. They only, their point, for some people, their point of reference is to blow other people up. Because they're running around with their heads cut off. They don't really have their society, all the structures of society are gone. And I mean, look at Africa. So the reference points, they don't have fundamental reference points yet, no matter how religious they are. And that's tragic. It's awful. I mean, suffering. We suffer their suffering. But that doesn't mean that we can't talk about this. Doesn't negate what we're talking about for me. It actually makes it stronger. Too bad everyone doesn't have that insight. So that's what we're trying to do, is help people fundamentally. This is the last question. Oh. No, I should make it a short question, please.
Well, what
I can't hear you at all.
The form and emptiness, emptiness is form is emptiness.
Yeah.
That, but in our, one of our frequent chants is we refer to a field far beyond form.
Yeah, that's right. That means beyond the duality of form and emptiness. The screen and the movie are really one piece, but beyond the one piece, so it's not two, it's not one, and it's both two and one, and it's difficult to put your mind around. So instead of putting your mind around it, you put your behind on it.